The ninth parak deals with Maaser Behema. Maaser Behema is not exactly on point for the subject of Bechoros, which is our Masechet, but it's brought at the end of the Masechta because it has parallels to the Bechor and how they are brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Just on a high level, it's Maaser Behema on an annual basis. There's an obligation to give Maaser, to tithe the newborn animals in the prior year, talking in particular about calves and also sheep and goats. You put them into a bin, as we will pen, as we will speak about in this perek, and you have to count them. Every tenth is Maaser Behema, the one that is chosen, or the ones that are chosen every tenth, brought to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, shechted, and the meat is eaten by the owner. Mishnah Aleph says as follows: Maaser Behema noag ba'aretz ubechutzlaretz. The mitzvah of Maaser Behema is done both in Eretz Yisrael and also in Chutz Laaretz, b'fnei Abayis or Shalom b'fnei Abayis, whether we have a Beis HaMikdash or don't have a Beis HaMikdash, b'chulin, it applies to chulin meat, avolo b'mukdashim, but not those animals that are being brought as korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. In addition, v'noheg ba'bakar uvatzon, it applies which type of animals to bakar. Bakar means cattle, which means calves, and also tzon, which is flocks. What does that include? Sheep and goats. Ve'enan mit asrin mize al ze. And in addition, if you have, for example, five of bakar and five of tzon, or eight and two, you would not combine them, so there would be no obligation of Maaser Behema. You need 10 in one of its own category. We're not going to combine the bakar and the tzon together. Now, when it comes to kvasim uvi'izim, there also, that is tzon. Tzon, we said, is flocks. Flocks include sheep and goats. Those umitashim mzelz, that you can combine when it comes to sheep and goats, you can combine them. So if you have five sheep, five goats, eight and two, etc., that would equal 10, and you have a mitzvah of Maaser Behema. In addition, b'chadash uveyashan, it applies to this year's animals, and if you forgot prior years, you still have to take Maaser Behema. However, ve'ena mitashim mizelze, if you have from this year and a prior year, you would not combine them together. You have to take on each year separately. Shaya Bedin, we would have thought that is not the case. Ma im hechadash vayashan she'enin kalayim zebazeh. When it comes to the new and the old animals that are not, there's no prohibition of kalayim, which means that, for example, if I have goats from this year and goats from last year, there's no problem of breeding them together. They're all goats. Ein mitashim mizeh alzeh, but still, nonetheless, I am not allowed to do Maaser Behema on cross years, different years, even for the same type of animal. Hakfasim va'izim, when we have in the same year, but we have goats and sheep. Shem kilayim zebazet, that there's a prohibition to cross between goats and sheep. Ein odin shelo yitashu mizeh alzeh, shouldn't be kal v'chomer that we can't take maaser from one on the other. And what we're saying here is when it comes to different years, the same type of animal, I can't take maaser from one on the other, and there's no problem with kalayim. Why wouldn't it be the same thing that I can't take maaser from goats on sheep in the same year where there is a problem? Kalayim ein odin shelo yitashu mizeh alzeh, talmud lomar vatzon, the Kosso comes to teach us, Vatzon groups together the sheep and goats, Mashma called Tzon Echad, which teaches us that they are considered a group that you can take as long as in the same year you can take Maaser Behema. You're required to take Maaser Behema, sheep and goats. You would combine your 5 and 5 and 10 and 8 and 2 in order to do the mitzvah. Mishnah Beis, we have an interesting question. If we're saying that you need a minimum of 10, in your flock, what happens if your flock is not all together in one place, they're separate in two places, but you have one herd, one shepherd that's watching over them, but they're not close together. Do you combine them? Is that 10 or is that not? Maaser Behema Mitzar Kim Lo Rego B'Meima Roa. As long as they are grazing in a somewhat general area, the area that they could roam back and forth, they're still watched by the same shepherd, that would be acceptable. Well, what does that mean? Quantify it. V'kamahi rega behema roa. What is the amount of area that you can have one shepherd watching and they are within grazing area of each other? So if I have, for example, five on one side and five distant from them, do that they combine? Shishas armil. As long as all of them are within 16 meal, a meal is 2,000 amas, so 32,000 amas, so 16 meal, for example, I have five on one side and five on the other, and they are within 16 meal of each other, that's going to combine to have 10, and I have the mitzvah to do a Maaser Behema. Haya ben elu le'elu shloshi mushnai meal, this means if there's more than 16, for example, 32 meal, that will be an important number for us, shortly, eina mitzdarvin, they're not going to be able to be aggregated together for Maaser Behema. Haya lo be'emtza, if you have one in the middle, which means, for example, if you have five on one side, a 32 meal across, you have five on one side, four on the other, and one in the middle, so the middle one is 16 meal from one side and 16 meal from the other side, that one in the middle is going to aggregate all of them together. Mevi u'ma'asram be'emsa, you can bring them all together. You have the mitzvah to do them all together because they are within 16 of that middle one. Rabbi Meir Omer Hayarde Mafsik the Master Behema, based on a pasuk. Rabbi Meir says that even if it's less than 16 meal combined, that you have one pack and on one side of the Jordan River and on the other side in the other pack, and they're within 16 meal, it doesn't matter. The pasuk teaches us that the Jordan divides between the two. You would not have the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. Mishnah Gimel tells us that Halakuach Oshinitan L'Mamatana. If somebody has Maaser Behema, he got animals. He got animals in a given year, but it's not that it grew in his flock, that they gave birth in his own flock, it was born to him, but rather he purchased them or received them as a gift. Pater mi Maaser Behema, there's no obligation of Maaser Behema. Maaser Behema is only applicable based on a pasuk for animals born into your flock. Now we need a little bit of background. We're going to have three possible stages here. If there's a father and he has at least two sons, multiple sons, and the father passes away and there is Yerusha. Before the Yerusha is given out to the sons, before it's divided, it's still in the estate. It's considered the father still, even though the father has passed away. If the brothers have divided it, this is going to be stage number two, then it's their individual assets. And stage number three, if they decide to repartner together, so their original Yerusha assets, they're going to bring it back together. It was divided, they're bringing it back together, now they're going to be partners. And we're going to talk about two important mitzvahs. The first one is Maaser Behema. And Maaser Behema is an obligation on individuals, but not partnerships. So that's going to be relevant. The father passes away, he still has his estate intact. That is considered an individual. That's not a partnership. But stage number two, when the assets are divided by the brothers, they are going to be individuals owning that those assets. So they'll each be obligated in Maaser Behema. But if they go to stage number three and repartner together, now there's a partnership, there's going to be no mitzvah Maaser Behema. It's not individuals, it's partnerships. There's also going to be the second halachas. We're going to talk about the kalbon. A kalbon is a surcharge when you give your machatzis a shekel at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. If you pay for yourself, you're obligated to not only pay the machatzis a shekel, but the surcharge called the kalbon. But if you pay for somebody else, then there's no additional kalbon required to be paid. So now we're going to talk in the Mishnah about stage number three. We had the Yerusha of the father. It was divided by the children, so they got to stage number two, and the two brothers, they repartnered together. Ha'achim ha'shutafim, we have those two brothers, they have repartnered their assets together. Shechayavim b'kalbon, they are obligated each, they are each going to give for themselves, and even if they take the assets from the partnership assets, the money to pay their machatzit shekel, they are each going to be obligated to give a kalbon. But Peturim Maaser Behema, but because they are now partnered together, stage number three, there's going to be no obligation to pay Maaser, to give Maaser Behema from the joint assets, from the animals that they have together when they give birth. There's going to be no mitzvah Maaser Behema because they're a partnership. However, if they're still in stage number one before they divided up the estate, Vishachayavim Maaser Behema, that would be a time that they are obligated in Maaser Behema because it's still considered the father's estate. It's not considered a partnership yet. It's all the Yerusha owned by the father, although he passed away. But Peturim in al-Kalbon, it's going to be Pater from the Kalbon if they use the Yerusha money to pay for the Machatzitza Shekel for the brothers. It's going to be as if the father's alive and paying for them. And we said that when somebody else pays for your Machatzitza Shekel, there's going to be no Kalbon that is required to be paid. And continuing, now we're going to give more explanation to what we just said. Kanu mitfisa sabayis, we're back in stage number one. If they have animals from the undivided estate, stage number one, so it's been undivided, in that situation, when it comes to Maaser Behema, it's going to be chayavim, they're going to be obligated to Maaser Behema, v'im lav. However, if the partners, if the brothers, they partnered together with their own assets, meaning not the estate assets from their father, but they partnered together independently, or their own partnership, then it's going to be Peturim from Maaser Behema, because partnerships are not obligated in Maaser Behema. If we're going to go to stage number three, as we discussed before, Chalku v'chazu v'nishtatfu, they divided up the assets of the state, and then they re-partnered together. In this situation, if they paid for their machatzis a shekel from the estate, chayavim b'kalbon, it's not viewed as if one person is paying for them, but they're taking it from the estate, from the partnership assets, so there's going to be an obligation. It's their partnership, they're paying for themselves, so they're going to be an obligation to pay the kalbon for each of them. Upatrim and ma'aser behema, however, because it's a partnership, there's going to be no mitzvah of ma'aser behema. Nishna dalet hakol nichnas l'dili taser. When it comes to which type of animals you have to take Maaser Behema from, you have to count all the animals that were born, even if they're not fitting to be a korban. We're going to count them, we're going to put them in the pen anyway in order to count them. Now, it happens to be that if something winds up as number 10 that has to be brought as a korban and it's invalid to be brought as a korban, we're not going to be able to bring it as a korban, but we're going to start with all of them in the pen nonetheless, with certain exceptions based on a drush and a pasuk, chutz min akilayim, if you have an animal that is a mix between a sheep and a goat, v'hatreif, and an animal that is a treif, it's not going to live out of the year because it has a fatal blemish, v'yotzedofen, it was born via C-section, v'chusar zman, it's less than 7 days old, v'yasom, and if it's an orphan, also, none of those will even be put into the pen together. Ezu yasom, what does that mean, an orphan, an animal that's an orphan? So it means, kol shemeisa imo shenishchata, its mother, immediately when it was born, the mother died, or it was shechted right then. So the baby and the mother never spent time together. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, afilu nishchata ima v'ashalach hayam, even in a situation where the mother was shechted immediately, so they never spent time together, but the skin of that mother is still alive. They can use that skin to warm up that child. It's as if the mother is still alive. Ein zeh yasam, this is not going to be considered a yasam, and such an animal would be put into the pen and computed based on, it would be included in the computation of Maaser Behema. Mishnah Hay is a fairly complicated Mishnah. It says that even though on a d'oraisa level, you compute the Maaser Behema on an annual basis, and the primary view is that it's computed from the first of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah, till the end of the year, till the end of Elul. That's the primary view. There's another view that you don't start for the first of Tishrei, but from the first of Elul. Nonetheless, a problem arose that Klal Yisrael, even though you're allowed during that time period, you have the new animals, you're allowed to sell the animals, you're allowed to shecht the animals, you can use it, even though you haven't taken off Maaser Behema, Klal Yisrael didn't want to do that. They didn't want to use the animals until they actually took the Maaser Behema. That caused a problem that there weren't enough animals for Karbanos during the Sholos Regalim because people had not done the Maaser Behema yet. Accordingly, Chazal said three times during the year that at that date, when the date comes, those three dates, you were no longer permitted to use the animal, shach the animal, sell the animals until you did the Maaser Behema. And once you did, then you would be permitted to use the animals. What this did was ensured that Klal Yisrael, they did the mitzvah of Maaser Behema, and accordingly, they would be happy to use the animals for Karbanos. So the dates were set. We'll see the first sheet, at least Rabbi Akiva. The dates were set right before each of the Sholos Regalim. So comes the date. At that point, you're not allowed to use the animals. You do the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. You have the animals available, and then you would use it for the Sholos Regalim. Sholos Karbanos, the Maaser Behema, that's is going to be Rabbi Akiva. We'll see three alternative views also. So if we think about it, we're going to put together a graph right now. On the right side is going to be the three opinions. Opinion 1, 2, and 3, Rabbi Akiva is 1. Number 2 is Ben Azai. And number 3 is Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon. And on the top of the graph are there going to be the three times, the three gronos, the three time periods that the mitzvah of Maaser Behema was done. Sholos Karbanos LaMaaser Behema, Rabbi Akiva is the simplest. Bifras HaPesach, Bifras HaTzeres, Bifras HaChag, Diva Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is of the view, there's halacha, sholim v'dorshim, we have halacha that we learn the halachas of a chag 30 days before the chag, so halfway is pros, halfway to that 15 days, so 15 days before each of the chagim, we are going to have the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. So it's 15 days before Pesach, 15 days before Shuas, and 15 days before Sukkis are going to be the times of Maaser Behema. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai says as follows, Be'estrim v'tisha ba'adar. It's very similar to Rabbi Akiva for the first one when it comes to the Pesach, but Rabbi Akiva said when it comes to Pesach, it's 15 days before, but according to Rabbi Akiva, the month before Pesach, which is Adar, could be either 29 days or 30 days. So Rabbi Akiva didn't give a set day, he just date. He'd said 15 days before. Ben Azai, opinion number two, is coming to say that the month before Pesach, which is Adar, is always going to be Chaser. It's only going to be 29 days, not 30 days. So accordingly, 15 days before Pesach is always going to be on the 29th of Adar. And next, we're going across the graph here, opinion number two, Ben Azai, the second Goren is Be'echad B'Sivan. He disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. It's not 15 days before Shavuos, because then you're giving people too much time in order to use up the animals, because you didn't have too many new animals between the last Goren before Pesach and now Shavuos. So shorten the time. It's 5 days before Shavuos. Shavuos is the next Goren. And the third one, according to Ben Azai, Be'esrim V'tisha Be'av, 1 month earlier than Rabbi Akiva, a whole month before Rabbi Akiva. And the reason, as follows, we'll explain it, and then we'll see more in the Mishnah later. I mentioned earlier that there are actually two primary views. What is the year for computing Ma'aser Behemah? Is it from the first of Tishrei to the end of the year, or is it first of Elul to the end of the year? So Ben Azai actually had a suffix. He didn't know how to paskin which way. So what he's saying is we should end it, because of that suffix, the 29th of Av, because I'm concerned maybe it starts the first of Elul is the Ma'aser Behemah. However, because maybe it's also the first of Tishrei, so it could be that because of that suffix, we are going to take everything in Elul and do Ma'aser Behemah separately for it. So that's why he's saying, end on the 29th of Av, we'll treat Elul separately as its own Goren. Opinion number three, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer. We are down on our graph, third number opinion on the right side, and we're going to fill it in. Going across the top, Be'echad, Be'nisan. This is very much like Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva said 15 days before Pesach, and Echad, Be'nisan is 14 days before Pesach. Why is that? Because Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon are of the view that the default would be that you have to learn not 30 days before. There's another view that you only have to learn 14 days before each of the Sholosh Regalim. Accordingly, we're going to do 14 days before is going to be the Goren, before Nisan, before Pesach, Be'echad B'Sivan, and he agrees with Ben Azai, the second opinion, when it comes to before Shavuos, make it 5 days before Shavuos, and Be'esrim V'tisha Be'elul. This is going to be very interesting. He says it's the 29th. The third one is the 29th of Elul. So the question is, why does he say the 29th of Elul if you're supposed to have it 14 days before the Chag? So that's what he had when it came to Pesach. He said Echad B'Nisan 14 days before the Chag. And now when it comes to Sukkot, why isn't he saying the first of Tishrei? Why is he saying the 29th of Elul, which is a day earlier? V'lama Amru B'Tishrei V'Tisha Be'elul. Why are they doing it the 29th of Elul? V'lama Amru B'Echad B'Tishrei. It really should be done on the first of Tishrei if it has to be 14 days before the Chag. Then the answer is Mibnei Shu Yom Tov. That is Rosh Hashanah V'Yeshal Asar B'Yom Tov. You can't do the Ma'aser Behemah on Rosh Hashanah, because as we'll see in a little bit later, that part of the Ma'aser Behemah is when the 10th one would come out of the pen, they had to mark it with a red dye. That's the prohibition of Tzoveya. Lefikach hikdimu be'esrim v'tisha be'elul. Accordingly, they did it 1 day earlier. Now, to just get back to that concept, we say there are two primary views. Ma'aser Behemah, is it from the first of Tishrei, the first of Elul? Rabbi Meir Omer be'echad be'elul Rosh Hashanah le'Ma'aser Behemah. Rabbi Meir's view is it as the first of Elul, so he has the alternative view, that second view, that Ma'aser Behemah, the year computation, first of Elul for a year. And Ben Azai, getting back to opinion number two, Ben Azai, why did he say the 29th of Av is when we should be computing it? Because Azai had a suffix. He didn't know how to paskin. Does he paskin like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon and also Rabbi Akiva, that we compute Ma'aser Behemah from the first of Tishrei? Or do we paskin like Rabbi Meir, that we do it from the first of Elul? Ben Azai Omer ha'eluli mitashim b'fnei atzma. Because of that suffix, we're going to do Elul separately, because we don't really know how to paskin. Mishnah Vav, Kol HaNoladim Be'echad B'Tishrei Ha'esrim V'Tisha Be'elul. This is continuing the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, and also Rabbi Akiva, that this is the primary view, that everything that was born from the first of Tishrei until the 29th of Elul, a year later, Ha'elu Mitzarfin, they would be aggregated together in the year for Ma'aser Behemah. So if you had five at the beginning of the year and five at the end of the year, that's 10. You have the mitzvah Ma'aser Behemah. On the other hand, Chamisha Lifnei Rosh Hashanah V'Chamisha L'Achar Rosh Hashanah. How about if you had five before Rosh Hashanah, five after Rosh Hashanah? Ain't on meat starving, because those are in different years. You don't aggregate them together. You do not have the mitzvah of Ma'isr Behema, Chamisha Lifnei Agon, V'Chamisha La'achar Agon, within the same year. But we said that there are three Goren dates within it. How about if you had five before the Goren date and five after the Goren date? So, for example, you had five a couple weeks before, 3 weeks before Pesach, and another five right after Pesach. Are we going to aggregate those together? Harei Elu Mistarf. And yeah, we would aggregate because it's within a given year. Within a given year, we aggregate. But Im Kain, so the Mishnah asks, if we're going to aggregate within the same year, so why do we bother have those Goren dates? Im Kain, Lama Nemar, Shalosh Gornos, Lamaisa Behema. What's the effect? Halacha Lamaisa Tachlis. What does it matter to have those three dates during the year? For example, according to Rabbi Akiva, 15 days before each of the Shalosh Regalim, Sha'ad Shalo Higia Goren, because, as we explained before, up until that date, once that date hits, before that date, mutalim kov lishchot. Up until that date, you're permitted to sell your animals. You're permitted to shech the animals. However, Chazal on a rabbinic level said, higia goren, once those dates come, lo yishchot, you can't shech your animals. You can't sell it. We have a freeze on that because we want people to do the mitzvah of ma'aser behema so they will feel happy to use their animals because they've done the mitzvah with them already to use their animals when the shalosh regalim come. V'im shachat, Potter. Nonetheless, if somebody did shecht his animal, then he's going to be potter. There's going to be no onish, and the meat will be permitted. So even if he did shecht it, even without having done the mitzvah of Meiser Behema, he shechted it after the Goren date, it will still not be penalized. Mishnah Zion gets into the technicalities of Kesa Ma'asrin. How do we actually do the mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema? So Kontz and the deer, all of the relevant animals that can be aggregated together that aren't excluded from what we discussed before, like a C-section, you put them all into a pen together, V'oselem Pesach Katan, and you make a small opening, so only one can come out at a time. Kedei Shelo Yushnayim Yecholim Latzeit Ka'achas, we only want one coming out at a time. U'mone B'Shevet, and you count them with a stack or a stick, that's what the Pasuk says, and you count them one by one. Echad Shnayim Shlosh Arba Chamisha Shisha Tisha, all the way up until 9, and Vahayotza Assyria, when the 10th one comes out, Sokra B'Sikra, we color it with red dye, and we say, we verbalize, Omer Hareza Maisa, this is the Maisa, this is number 10. However, we said some things that should be done. What happens if you missed various of the technicalities we just went through? Loskaro B'Sikra, what happens if you didn't hit it with the red dye there? Vulominan Beshevit, you didn't have that stick in your hand, you counted without the staff. Oshimanan Ruvutim, or you didn't even count them as they came out of the bin, they were just lazing around inside the bin, they were crouching or omding, they're just standing around. Hare'ilu Musarin, if you counted them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then number 10, even though they weren't going out the gate, they would still be considered Me'usarim. You did the Ma'aser, and the 10th one will be the Ma'aser Behema. How about the situation where you knew how many animals you have already? You counted them, for example, the other day, because you needed to know how much feed to order for them. And you knew, I have 100, so why do I have to go through this whole rigmarole counting 100? I know I just have to give 10 of them. Hayalo Meir Venatala Esara, if he knew he had 100, and he just said, let me take out 10, and he didn't count them at all. 10, I'll take them, that's my Ma'aser Behema. Or you had Asara, you knew you had 10, V'nat Alecha, and you just took one as Ma'aser Behema, so you never did a counting. Ein Zeh Ma'aser, that, according to the Tanakama, is not good. This is not going to be Ma'aser Behema. You actually have to do the counting. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Omer, based on a Pasuk, Karei Zeh Ma'aser, it's still going to be Ma'aser, even if you didn't do the counting. Now we're going to have an interesting situation. If you were counting, for example, up to number 9, you had them coming out, kafatz echa min hamnuyin letochan, and one of those that you counted, not the ma'aser behema, you didn't get to number 10, but let's say number 6, he jumped back into the pen and you don't know which is number 6. So this creates a serious problem, because when you want to continue, you're never going to know if the ones that come out, if number 6 was one of them or not. And with ma'aser behema, you have to know that number 10 is really number 10. But if number 6 was included already, you can't double count him. So number 10, when you count to number 10, maybe number 6 was in the ones that came out, and number 10 is really number 9. So this creates a real problem when that number 6 jumped back into the pen, and you don't know which he is. But the effect of that is, once number 6 or whatever 1 through 9 jumped back into that pen, went back into the pen, the rest of them are absolved from the whole mitzvah of Ma'aser Behemah, because you don't need to know definitively that number 10 is Ma'aser Behemah. Here you can no longer know it's definitively going to be number 10, and accordingly there's no more mitzvah of Ma'aser Behemah for those in the pen. How about if the one that jumped back in was number 10 himself, and you don't know which it is? If it's number 10 that jumped back in, or number 20 that jumped back in, in this situation, you can't simply shecht all the animals for your benefit. You can't do that. Why? Because it could be that number 10 is in there. Number 10 is in there. It had to be brought as a korban in the base of Mikdash. You don't know which one it is. Accordingly, kulam yiru ad yistavu. You have to wait until all of them have a mum, a blemish. So when you have a ma'aser behemah that got a blemish, you no longer bring it as a korban. And at that point, v'yayachlu b'muma l'balim, the Baal is permitted to eat all of them, now that it has a blemish. Just because of that one, we don't want to take the chance. We know it's there, that it's a Ma'aser Behemah. Accordingly, we have to wait until they all have a mum in order to eat it. Mishnah Ches. Now we're going to talk about various mistakes in the counting. Yatsu Shnaim Ke'achad. Instead of them coming one by one, the door was too big, too wide, and they're coming out in sets of two. So 2, 4, 6, 8. So how do you handle that? Mone Osam Shnaim Shnaim. What do you do is you can count them by pairs. So the first two that come out, you could count one. The second two that come out, you could count two. The next ones that come out, you could count three, even though you're up to six now. And what it's going to be is number 19 and number 20, which you're counting as 10. That is going to be the Ma'aser Behemah. Both of those are going to be the Ma'aser Behemah. Mina'an Echad, a little bit different. You count the first set that came out, the first two that came out, you count them number one, and then you started counting the rest as individuals. So number three you counted, but because you counted the first two, the first couple as one, number three you're now counting as two. And number three you're counting as two, number four you're counting as three, etc. So when you get to number 10, you're only counting it as number 9, even though it's really number 10. So accordingly, and when you get to number 10, when you get to number 11, you counted number 10. So now you have a problem. You had number 10, you counted a number 9. You had 11, you counted a 10. Chi Eva Asiri Mikol Kalin, you have now ruined number 9 and number 10. And accordingly, that is creating a problem. You would have to you'd have to wait until they have mumim. So you have ruined your Ma'aser Behemah count. A different situation. If after counting the first 8, Yatsu Chi'i Vasiri Ka'achas, now you have number 9 and number 10 come out together. So you don't know which one is number 10. Chi'i Vasiri Mukul Kalin. Now number 9 and number 10 are also Mukul Kalin, and you have to wait till they each have mumim in order to eat them, because you don't know which one is really number 10. Now another very interesting situation. Another mistake that was made. Karala Chi'i Asiri. Number 9 was coming out, but you called it the wrong thing. You called it 10. Ula Asiri Chi. And the real one that's Ma'aser Behemah, number 10, you called it number 9. So that really is the Ma'aser Behemah. You gave it the wrong number. Ula Achadasar Asiri, number 11, you called it number 10. So the effect of this all is that you called number 10, you called it number 9. And number 9 and 11, you called it 10. So Shloshtan Mekudashim, they all have some Kedusha involved in them. Why? Because you called two of them, not 9 and 11, you called it 10. And then number 10, although you gave it the wrong number, but nonetheless, that is the Ma'aser Behemah. So Hachi'i Nechal B'mumo, you have to, number 9, you have to wait until it has a mum. Ha'asiri Ma'aser, number 10, even though you called it number 9, that is the Ma'aser Behemah. V'chadasar Karav Shlamim, based on a drash and a pasuk, number 11 has to be brought as a korban shlamim. V'oset Mura, Divrei Rebbe Meir. And it's a korban, it's a primary korban. There's a concept that if somebody tries to take a korban and replace it with another animal, that other animal doesn't replace it, that other animal, number 2, becomes a korban in itself. So that Rebbe Meir is saying, even though number 11 was a mistake, but because it is now a shlamim, it can become a tmura. When you try to make a tmura, the additional animal is going to be a korban as well. That's the opinion of Rebbe Meir. Amar Rebbe Yehuda v'chiyesh tmura, so tmura. So Rebbe Yehuda disagrees. Rebbe Yehuda views it very differently. He says number 11 is simply a replacement for number 10. Effectively, it's already a tmura. Why? Number 11 is only has kedusha because you made a mistake and called it 10. So effectively, 11 is a tmura of number 10. It's a replacement for number 10. Accordingly, when you try to make a tmura, you can't have a tmura on a tmura. So when you try to make a tmura on number 11, it is not going to be a korban. It's not going to be a tmura. But they respond back, Amru Mishum Rabbi Meir. They respond back in the name of Rabbi Meir, Eloi HaTmura. If that's a case that number 11 really is already viewed as a tmura and not a primary korban shlamim, lo haya karav, we wouldn't bringing it as a korban shlamim. We don't bring a tmura as a korban. Accordingly, from the fact that number 11 is brought as a korban shlamim, we see it's a primary korban, it's not a tmura, and you can make a tmura on that number 11. Now we're going to have a similar situation to what we just saw. We're going to have a mistake with 9, 10, and 11, but it's not going to be the same mistake as we saw before. Before we said 9 and 11, the person called 10, and number 10, he called 9. Here the situation is kara lechi asiri, number 9, he called 10. Lasiri, instead of calling number 10, 9, he called Asiri, Asiri, Ulachadasar Asiri, and also 11 called 10. In other words, 9, 10, and 11, he called all of them number 10. In this situation, it's going to be a little bit different. 9 is going to be treated the same. The number 9, we're going to have to wait until a mum. Number 10 is going to be the Meiser Behema, but number 11, Ein Achadasar Mekudesh, number 11 is going to have no Kedusha, because after he did number 10 correctly, you're not going to be able to have anything with Kedusha after that. Zaklal, this is the general rule, Kol Shalon Nekar Shem Asiri Mimenu, as long as you do not uproot the number from number 10, the proper number. You gave number 10 to number 10. Accordingly, Ein Achadasar Mekudesh, number 11 is not going to have Kedusha. Only in the prior scenario when we called number 10 number 9. There we uprooted the number from number 10 because we called it number 9. In that situation, number 11 had Kedusha and it's brought up as a shlami. But here, because we called number 10 number 10, calling number 11 number 10 is ineffective and it's just going to be a regular animal.